What is the one thing that the pro-life movement needs most at the present time? Find out next on Gospel of Life. Hello, I'm Reverend Frank Pavone, Director of Gospel of Life Ministries. Welcome to our program. I'm joined by Janet Marana, our Associate Director at Gospel of Life. Janet, today we're going to share a sermon I gave in the United States Senate back in January of 2007. It's an annual event that we always participate in. In fact, we help to co-sponsor it.
That's right. People don't realize that before the March for Life in Washington, D.C. every year, this event happens in the Senate building. And it's quite moving to think of that, a prayer service for the end of abortion and, you know, honoring the children that have died from abortion actually occurs in the Senate building each year before
the
March.
Despite the protests of some of our pro-abortion elected officials,
right.
We're there anyway. And it's called the Annual National Memorial for the Preborn and Their Mothers and Fathers. And it is a beautiful ceremony, interdenominational. There are always clergy there from some 30 different denominations usually. And we have families taking part. There's a memorial candle that is lit, and there's singing and dancing and of course, preaching and praying. And we hear plenty of the Word of God. And it is a great spiritual preparation for the events of the rest of that day, the march itself. And then, of course, at the conclusion of the march, the event that you have co-founded, the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, when marching turns in then to listening and solidarity with those who are sharing their pain and their testimony about how, what a lie abortion is and what a dead end it is.
Right. Well, I know this past year we're going to see this clip where you gave such a powerful sermon about people taking risk. In order to do something about ending abortion, sometimes we have to come out of our comfort zone into a more uncomfortable place.
Yes.
And I think what you were really doing was giving us more of a scriptural basis and a call to action.
Yes.
By that sermon.
So let's watch this clip together from January 2007 in Washington, D.C. at the U.S. Senate.
It doesn't matter if there are laws or regulations saying you can't construct a chapel in this building. Where the people of God are, there's the chapel.
Come on,
there's the church.
You know, that's right. Okay.
And the people of God are here in the name of the only Lord, the only Savior, the only hope of humanity, the author of life, the conqueror of sin and death. His name is Jesus Christ.
Yes, stand there.
The Christian world has much diversity, much variety, many differences within it. But today, all of us united here know that there are certain things, there are certain truths, there are certain foundations on which we stand as followers of Jesus Christ. And we reaffirm those truths today as we prepare to give witness in the streets of our nation's capital. We affirm today the truth that there is only one mediator between God and humanity, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We affirm today the truth that there is no salvation in any other name.
Amen.
Not Buddha, not Mohammed, no other name but Jesus Christ.
Yes, amen.
We are here to confirm today that our God is not a silent God. He has spoken. He has spoken a word, and that word is in the sacred scriptures, and that word is the final word.
You know it. Amen.
We reaffirm today that the Almighty God of the universe, who stretches from one end of eternity to the other and fills the universe in all its parts, became a little baby. And that little baby who was born is the God of the universe. He is not just a great prophet or a great leader. He is God incarnate. We affirm that today. We are gathered from all parts of the Christian spectrum this morning, and we affirm that this God who became a human being, who took on a human body, human blood, a human soul, shed that blood freely, and it is only in that shed blood that we have the forgiveness of our sins. Yes. And we run to Him today. We run to that cross, yes, and we let that blood pour over us, and we acknowledge today together that that act of sacrifice destroyed the power of death, and that that man who was God rose from the dead and is with us today alive.
Yes, Lord.
We further affirm today that He who came is coming back.
Oh, you know that.
And that when He comes back, it will not be behind some small cave in Bethlehem. It will be for every eye to see. Every eye shall see Him, even of those who pierced Him. And every knee shall bend in the heavens, on the earth, and under the earth. His friends, His enemies, those who sought to be near Him, those who tried to run away from Him, those who obeyed Him, those who persecuted Him. Every knee will bend, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yes, we are united. Yes, there is unity among Christians. Yes, these truths we all affirm, and we affirm something further, that this God of ours does not allow us simply to come together and to say, yes, thank you, Lord, for rescuing me. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for being my Savior, because I'm helpless. I couldn't save myself. Thank you for coming down and minding my business. You didn't just stay up in heaven and mind your own business. You saw me in need, and you came to rescue me. And we affirm today that this God doesn't allow us just to come into a place like this, or into any church, or into the sanctuary of our own hearts, and just thank Him for that gift, without turning around and saying, there's my brother, there's my sister, they're in need, they need to be rescued too, and I'm going to rescue them. This is not a God who allows us to accept the gift of life and turn our back when it's being taken from somebody else. This is not a God who allows us to be justified in His name and to fail to act for justice in our world. Dr. Martin Luther King, on the night before he was assassinated, he talked to the preachers and he said, I want to see a relevant ministry, a relevant ministry. It's okay to speak about the New Jerusalem, where there's going to be all kinds of glory and happiness and the streets flowing with milk and honey. Yes, the preacher has to preach about the New Jerusalem. But God's preacher also has to preach about the New Atlanta and the New New York and the New Los Angeles and the New Philadelphia and the New Washington, D.C. Because there's a newness that we have received. And although we have received it, yet we must make it effective. And that's what we do today, because our brothers and sisters in the womb are the most at risk, the most oppressed. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say when He initiated His public ministry? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me. He has anointed me to let the oppressed go free. And that's what we proclaim today. In the name of Christ, the oppressed, none is more oppressed than the unborn child. They will go free, because we will not stand for their oppression any longer. Here's the challenge, my friends. He's going to do this, but He's going to do it through us. And that means that as we take the victory of life and proclaim it and apply it to our society, we too must go the way that He did. The way of the cross. The way of self-sacrifice. The way of crucifixion. Solidarity with our brothers and sisters in the womb means this. They are at risk. Therefore, we must be willing to share their risk. There's the challenge to our movement, and that's my exhortation to you today. We cannot do this work that we call the pro-life cause without accepting our share of the risk, the danger, the vulnerability, the readiness to lose everything. Right now, our unborn brothers and sisters have that risk without having chosen it. They didn't ask to be put in a situation of such vulnerability. They stand to lose everything. Today, those who are being aborted, those scheduled to be aborted tomorrow, they are at risk of losing everything. And yet so many people who want to stand up for them and speak for them don't want to share in the risk. And there's where we have to change. We're going to achieve this goal of restoring protection to our unborn brothers and sisters. But we've got to achieve it by accepting the risk on our own shoulders. Isn't it amazing? We know so clearly that abortion is the killing of the innocent, is murder. And yet, where do you go to say so? You talk about it in the political arena, and they say it's too religious. You talk about it in the churches, and they complain that it's too political. You talk about it in the media, and they say, well, that's too disturbing to the people. You try to talk about it in social settings, and they say, well, it's impolite to talk about it. You try to bring it up in the business world, and they say it's too controversial. You try to bring it up in educational establishments, and they say it's too disruptive. You try to bring it up in any setting, and there's some reason why people are saying, don't bring it up. If abortion is wrong, where do we go to say so? Well, there can only be one answer to that. We got to stop looking for a safe and convenient place to say so and say it in every one of those places that I just mentioned. We got a lot of people here today. This might be the best attended annual memorial for the preborn so far in these 13 years. We're going to see a lot more people out there on the streets. But it's not that this movement needs a whole lot of people. It's that this movement needs a people who are willing to take a whole lot of risk. That's what it takes. What I'm saying to you friends today, my pleading with you this morning is very simple. Each of you already knows the next step you have to take to risk, to give, to sacrifice for your unborn brothers and sisters. And you're not sure if you want to do it, because you're not sure if you can pay the price. I'm saying today, that next step that you know you have to do, that's what you have to do. Take that risk, make that sacrifice. Let me read a little email I got just recently from an 11-year-old girl. She said, Father Frank, my mother and I are taking a bus and will be coming to the March for Life. Usually my dad gets to go and my mom stays home with us kids. But this year it's our turn. It will be the first time that my mom and I have ever gone. My teacher said that I will receive zeros on any work that I miss, and it cannot be made up. I told her. 11-year-old girl, my friends. I told her that missing a day at school in order to stand up for life is more important, and I'm willing to suffer the consequences. Yes. So whether it's grades in school, or favor with your friends and relatives, or position in your career, or votes from your constituents, or praise from your congregation, or whatever it is that you stand to lose for speaking up to the unborn. Today I say to you, lose it! Risk it! Throw it away! Because we need the victory! We need to march to victory today. The unborn can't wait anymore. They can't wait for people who want to do this work in a comfortable setting or with predictable results. No. No, the cause of justice is clear, my friends. The call is clear. And it comes from the one whom we all affirm today, the one who has conquered death, the only one through whom the culture of life will in fact be reestablished. Again, we acknowledge and confess Him, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Oh, amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, Pastor Jones.
Well, brothers and sisters, I hope this message is an encouragement to you. And Janet, you know, the whole theme of risk, something that so many people find so many excuses not to do, something you've borne witness to in your own life when you came to work full-time for the pro-life movement. Tell us what kind of a risk you took.
Well, I had been, as you know, Father, working with you in the pro-life movement as a volunteer while I held a full-time position in the public school system in New York City. And I was actually doing quite successful in my school district. I had won numerous grants and was moving up the ladder, so to speak, my position at the school, and I had even just graduated with a professional diploma in reading and was going to being a certified reading specialist for the state of New York, and I just came upon my heart that I just can't keep juggling, dabbling almost in pro-life while I'm doing this other work. Mm-hmm. And so I turned to my colleagues and said, well, I am leaving the teaching profession to bring an end to the killing of children. And they were all shocked, and I said, well, what I'm actually doing will provide you people job security.
That's right, because and then no children to teach after a while.
That's right. So yeah, I'm wearing my postgraduate degree here. I'm still paying the loan for it, but I did leave teaching. Like I said, a lot of people were scratching their heads because I was supposed to start this extra profession.
Well, not only that, but the organization you were coming to work with, our group, was we were still at the very, very initial stages of building up enough of a financial basis that you could be assured that you're going to have a salary, and
right.
And yet you took that risk anyway. You know, I once asked Mother Angelica, how do you do great things for God? And she said, you know, people think that they have to be way out in front of God, and they have to see everything mapped out exactly how it's going to unfold in years and years to come. And they don't want to take a step unless they have the assurance that everything after that is going to go all right. Well, we think that way. And we're going to be frozen and paralyzed in inactivity. To do something great for God, for the cause of justice, for the cause of life, we have to be ready to fall off a cliff. That's all there is to it.
And, you know, if anyone's watching now, if they've been stirred by your sermon, Father, I hope they'll contact us, at Gospel of Life, because we'd be more than happy to help place them out there in the pro-life movement. There are plenty of organizations that are just waiting for them to get involved and do something. You know, we have too many cheerleaders, you know, in the stadium. We need more players down on the field.
Yes. Well, thanks for what you do to be a player on the field. And brothers and sisters, stay tuned now, because we're going to also tell you how you can support this ministry, help us get these messages out to more people, more time on television, more of our speakers going around to communities like yours. And then after our next message, we will have an action segment where we'll give you more practical ideas about building up the culture of life. You have seen a segment today from a prayer service. Please also join our prayer campaign at prayercampaign.org to pray daily for an end to the killing of children. Stay with us.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. In the last 12 years, half of the nation's freestanding abortion clinics have closed, and the abortion industry is on the run. Gospel of Life Ministries has played a vital role in the rescue of countless children and is currently in place to save thousands more. But we urgently need your support to make this happen. Not everyone can be on the front line of this battle, but when you support Gospel of Life, you are saving lives. Your life-saving gift of $25, $50, or $100 will help us provide alternatives to women who think they have no choice but abortion. And for those countless women who have lost children to abortion, Gospel of Life Ministries will help them find forgiveness, healing, and peace in the cross of Christ and become outspoken advocates for the lives of their unborn children. The help you provide will also bring the saving word of life to churches through a training program that is raising a mass voice that will see abortion stopped. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Friends, welcome to our action segment. Janet, we're going to talk about a very basic form of activity that people can get involved in, but it takes many different forms.
That's right. Well, it's called street activism is kind of a broad title, but it's really taking the pro-life message to the streets because we know we don't get cooperation from the secular media, and therefore there's a lot of activities we can do out in the public square to get our message apart.
And the idea here is that we enjoy in this country the freedoms of the First Amendment, which include freedom of speech and freedom of assembly, so that there are public areas designated, the public sidewalks, for example, as long as you're not blocking access, you've got to let people go by and you have to let traffic continue, obviously, but to be present as people are going by, to be present as traffic is passing by, to convey whatever message you want to convey, whether you're rich or poor, whether you're famous or unknown, no matter who you are or where you're from, the First Amendment allows that freedom of expression. It's one of the greatest freedoms that we enjoy, and that's why it's part of Amendment Number 1. It's so basic. And that gives us an advantage because it allows us to, as you said, get a message across that the media might not be covering, or that it might be worse than that they're giving it a negative slant. And to the idea that the speech is protected means that even when, and especially when, it upsets the listeners can't shut us down.
That's right. Well, there's a lot of different activities, and one such thing is called a Face the Truth Tour or Show the Truth Tour. Mm-hmm. And this is very simply where you have an array of large posters starting with showing an unborn child maybe in the sixth, seventh, eighth week of development. Mm-hmm. Then you show that same child in a few posters later down the street what an abortion does to that same baby. And then at the very end show, well, had you not chosen abortion, here's the living child, the born child, or that adoption is a loving option. Mm-hmm. Now, we've done this before ourselves with staff and friends and people and other pro-lifers. I mean, we did it right in New York City, in the five boroughs of New York.
Yes.
And you stand about, 25 feet apart so that as traffic goes by, and you maybe need about, maybe you could do it with really as little as 12 people spread out over maybe a two-block like length or along a highway. It's perfectly legal. We would contact the police and tell them we're going to be at a certain location for a certain amount of time, maybe standing there for about an hour, say from 8 to 9 in the morning during rush hour traffic when there's a lot of cars coming by, and we would have the signs there. And we really educated a lot of people about this is an unborn child and this is what abortion does to that child.
Well, we also saved lives because there were people who were scheduled to have abortions who saw those signs and it made them change their minds.
That's right.
And they came up to us.
They contacted us, yeah. So, I mean, that's just one simple activity. If people want more information as to how to do an activity like that in their community, they can contact us at Gospel Life and we'll put them in touch and show them how to do it.
That kind of activity shows the truth about abortion to the public. Then there's also the type of street activity that goes to the places where the killing is actually occurring and tries to intervene to stop it. So you have prayerful vigils at the abortion mills. You have pickets of the abortion facilities. And you have sidewalk counseling, which, of course, is the effort to talk to the women and men who are going into that facility to have their child killed, to tell them that there are alternatives, to warn them about the dangers, and to persuade them to turn around.
You know, and being outside an abortion clinic is one of the most important activities that people can do. Even if, like you just said, Father, you're out there with another person, just go two of you and pray. Because very often, and I know this from the testimonies of the women of the Silent No More Awareness Campaign, women who've had abortions, that sometimes, you know, they don't want to have this abortion. They're just kind of grasping. I wish God would show me a sign. You're outside there praying outside that clinic. Sometimes that's just a sign to stop them from going in.
They're looking for a sign, so many of them.
That's right.
And Mark Bomchill, former security guard at Abortion Mill in the Twin Cities, writes and speaks and tells us about the fact that he used to bring women out the back door of the facility when there were pro-life people praying in front so that the pro-life people would not see how many women changed their minds simply because of the fact that they were there. People don't need special training. They don't need to be experts or counselors. They just need to have a will to stop the killing, and they just need to show up because them just being there will save lives.
Well, show up with your Bible. Instead of reading the Bible in the privacy of your home, stand out and witness in front of the abortion clinic.
Brothers and sisters, let's take action. Let's get organized. Let's go out there on the streets. Let's peacefully proclaim the dignity of life. God bless you.
Not until people saw images of children in coal mines did they enact child labor laws. Not until people saw images of human torture did they rise up against slavery. And now, after seeing these images, what will you do? Priests for Life. Because America will never reject abortion unless America sees abortion. Call now to learn how you can help.
When I found out I was pregnant, I thought I would lose my job.
My boyfriend told me to choose between him and the baby.
I was already struggling to care for one child, so I had an abortion.
I had trouble conceiving again.
I tried to commit suicide.
I started to have nightmares.
You see, abortion didn't solve our problems.
It just created different ones.
That's why we are Silent No More.
We found help in healing, and you can too. Call or go online today.
There is a crisis in America, a Holocaust that takes the lives of more than 3,000 children every day through the horrific act of abortion. Yet despite this tragic loss, we are gaining victory over this culture of death. With your gift of $25, we'll send you the booklet, Pro-Life, Today and Always. It will give you an overview of why we are pro-life and provide reflections that will stir and motivate you to action. With your gift of $50, we'll also send you the DVD, The Procedure. In this powerful DVD, you'll hear abortionists discuss the procedure in their own words and unmask the violence that the abortion industry tries to hide. And when you give a gift of $100, we'll also include the book, Forbidden Grief. This compelling book will open your eyes to the psychological damage done to those who have had an abortion experience. Please call, write, or make your gift online today. The Gospel of Life program is made possible by the supporters of Gospel of Life Ministries and Priests for Life. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of stopping abortion and providing post-abortion healing. Specific outreaches mentioned are examples of the programs conducted and supported. Gifts are considered to be without use restriction unless specifically stipulated by the donor.